All right, let's take our Bibles now and go to Psalm number 1. Psalm number 1, please. Psalm has 150 chapters or psalms in it. And we're going to go to the very first one, and we'll finish tonight with the very last one. I'm just kidding. Psalm 1, and we'll look at some other passages as well. I think we'd do okay working our way through the chapters until we got to Psalm 119, right? And work through verse by verse, 176 verses, I think. I can't remember for sure. But Psalm 1, and I'm going to be looking at this thought tonight of resisting the blessed life. Resisting the blessed life. And I just want to ask you a question to start. Have you ever missed an opportunity that came your way? You say, I've missed plenty of opportunities. No doubt you have seen many of those offers that said, limited time only, whether it's a sandwich at McDonald's or a sale at Walmart, there's only a limited time. Maybe you missed out on a big sale, or maybe there was an offer for a free gift, maybe on television. If you call now, we'll add this gift, and if you call even right now, we'll add another gift to your purchase today. Maybe you've been presented with a scholarship offer or a job offer that you did not qualify for, or you didn't claim it in time. You know, life is filled with opportunities. Opportunities that we tend to grab for, we reach out for. But you know, if you worried about making sure you didn't miss a single one, you would be stressed out and broke. That's the reality of life. There are offers, there are opportunities for us to grab a hold onto and receive, but the reality is you try to prioritize your offers and your opportunities. And just so you know, pizza offers should not be at the top of your list as the most important offers to claim. I noticed on our refrigerator last night or the other night that there was a pizza coupon on the refrigerator. And I won't promote any pizza places here on the live stream, but my wife said Joshua put that there, so I think he was wanting pizza. Possibly is what he was saying, but you receive all kinds of offers, all kinds of advertisements to grab your attention. But as we think about this blessed life, living the blessed life as a Christian, you say, God's blessing me, I'm doing well financially. And may I just mention something, that financial prosperity is not necessarily the blessing of the Lord upon your life. God allows the, if we look at that way as blessings, God allows the lost, the wicked to prosper. And so if our view of blessing is only in the financial realm, then we might be very discouraged when we lose our job and think that God's not blessing us. But do you realize that the blessed life can be that we live as a poor person, maybe we have very little, but when you have the Lord and when you experience His blessings, you will truly know it. And there is one opportunity that sadly many Christians are missing out on, and some really don't even have an interest in. God offers it through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the opportunity of a lifetime, and it's this of having the blessed life. Let's read Psalm 1 together, Psalm 1, and I just want to read the first three verses. The first three verses of this Psalm 1. Let's go ahead and stand together if you're able to, wherever you may be. If you're driving, maybe stay in your seat. Hopefully you're not watching and driving at the same time. But let's read these verses. You follow along as I read here in Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Let's pray once again. Lord, we thank you for this passage here tonight. Other passages we'll look at. We pray that you'd use them for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. As we think about this blessed life, the reality is that we will hop on many opportunities that will save us or make us money, but we fail to claim the opportunities that are given to us to enjoy this blessed life. The stress that we put ourselves through just to get to the end of our lives and be able to say, I am finished, is done. What was accomplished? What did you have to show for it? Many people will work their entire life reaching for something that starts with an R. It's called retirement. And if that's all that you are looking for, dear Christian, you will be very disappointed, very discouraged at the end of your life when you invested very little into the cause of Christ, but you invested much into the cause of retirement. And I say to you that a Christian never truly retires in this life. We are always serving the Lord. We are always working for the Lord. And my parents are soon looking at retirement. And my dad actually has a month and a year. And it's actually this year. He's hoping for October or November. So if you think of my dad and pray for him and my mom, I'd appreciate it. Chris and Sharon Ravert, and they've put their house on the market already, and things are moving along quickly, and they're looking at possibly returning back to Michigan. I'm not sure, and maybe that's information I shouldn't put out. I don't know, but be praying for them. And I don't know if they're watching this. Probably not. It's a little bit later there. But I'd appreciate your prayers for them. But retirement, it seems for some of us a long ways away. You know, retirement, that's for old people, right? Well, the reality is we're all going to reach that age unless the Lord takes us home sooner. But may that not be our goal. Because you may be to that point and think, now what? I've worked all my life and now I'm retired. I got to find something to do. Get a job. Get a hobby, go back to work. But I live for retirement. This is what I thought everything was. That's not our purpose, dear Christian. God has a purpose within our life, and He wants us to enjoy the blessed life, the blessings of life. God extends the offer over and over for the blessed life, but many will resist it or will reject it. Are you resisting the blessed life? You say, how could I resist that blessed life? The Bible says here, in verse number 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Let's go over to Matthew chapter 5, if you would, please. Matthew chapter 5. And here in the book of Matthew, chapter number 5, we see the beginning of what we know to be the Sermon on the Mount that the Lord Jesus Christ preached to the disciples there, and goes through chapter number 7 of the book of Matthew. But Matthew chapter 5, and as we look in verse number 3, we see the beginning of that Sermon on the Mount is what we know to be the Beatitudes. And another way you could say that is these are the attitudes that ought to be in every child of God, every Christian, every believer. It says this in verse number 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Something I point out about this word blessed is even though it's a different word in both the New Testament and the Old Testament, two different languages, both words mean the word happy. You say, how can I live a happy life? The happy life is the blessed life that comes from, yes, being a Christian, yes, being a child of God, but there's so much more beyond just becoming a child of God. God wants you to enjoy the life from day to day. It's not to be a life of miserableness and discouragement and hardships. And you look in that, in verse 11, it talks about being reviled and being persecuted. And then verse 12, it says, rejoice. To realize that you can rejoice under persecution, you can rejoice under being reviled. And you say, what about that one about being poor in spirit? And that word literally means to be a beggar in spirit. And blessed are those that mourn. Blessed are the meek. to have strength or power under control. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst. You say, I want to see my needs provided for, but look at the things that we're to be longing for, the things of righteousness. And the Bible says, if you will hunger and thirst for righteousness, you will be filled. Blessed are those that are full of mercy or to be merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart. Look, you don't have to contaminate, defile yourself with the worldly goods, with the worldly trends. We don't have to get involved with those things. The Bible says those with a pure heart will be blessed and they will see God. Look, here is the blessed life described for us. Many times we push it away. These are the attitudes that we just read that ought to be in every child of God, in every believer. Jesus said in John chapter 13 and verse number 17, right after washing his disciples' feet, he said this, if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. James said we ought to be a doer of the word and not a hearer only, James 1 and verse number 22. You see, being saved is only the doorway to that blessed life. You say, I'm saved, then my life should be blessed. No, that's not true. Yes, you're bound for heaven's door, and we thank the Lord that because of salvation, not because of what you've done, but because of the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, for by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's not about what we've done. Faith does come by hearing. Faith comes by hearing, but look, faith is revealed or seen by what we do. James chapter 2, verse number 18, James says, yea, a man say, man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. You say, I thought we weren't saved by works. You're correct. So does that mean we sit around and not serve the Lord since we're not saved by works? Look, salvation is by faith, but our life of faith is lived out by the works that we are to do according to what the Lord had James write. At the end of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7, we find the song written there. It's not actually the song written there, but the song that we sing, the wise man and the foolish man. And Jesus likened the man that heard those sayings, the things that he taught, and he likened that man to a wise man if he not only heard the sayings, but if he did what he was told, what he heard. What can steer us away from or keep us from this blessed life? Let's go back to Psalm 1. Psalm 1. Again, I read verse 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. What can pull us away? What can turn us away from this blessed life? I think if you flip this verse around, you'll see it. And we'll talk about each of these in just a moment. But dear Christian, our life ought to be a continual sanctifying or transforming process. And this takes place through, the transforming takes place by the renewing of our mind. Let's first go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse number 3. And we'll read verse 4 as well. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. It says, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that any one of you should know how to possess his vessel, your body, in sanctification and honor. That you, dear Christian, you, dear believer, your body, you as a person, you as a child of God, have been set aside for one purpose, for the glory and honor of God. And if you allow sin into your life, you allow the contamination of sin to enter into your body, into your life, look, you are disregarding the will of God of that sanctification for your life. And God desires that we would be transformed, that we would be sanctified. This sanctifying process is a lifelong process. You say, well, if I'll never get to the end of it, what's the point? The point is because it's the will of God that we be sanctified. It's the will of God that we go through this sanctifying process day in and day out. And let's go to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, two very well-known verses in the scripture that are very often preached from, but I want to pull something from this passage that no doubt has been mentioned before. But he says in verse number 2, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." You see, the transformation, the sanctification, it starts within our mind and it takes place within our mind. The battle is won or lost within our mind, and that's where the devil works. That's where the devil attacks, and that's where the devil tries to get us off course. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 23. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 23. I want you to notice the verse here that is sandwiched between. I didn't say that so you get up and get something to eat, okay? That word sandwich, it's stuck in between it, okay? It's stuck in between putting off and putting on. Verse 23, it says, "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind." Yes, there are some things that we need to put off, and those are listed in various portions of Scripture, even that the Apostle Paul writes. But in order for the change to take place, yes, it happens through the Lord Jesus Christ. Galatians 2:20, "I am crucified with Christ." It's Christ that's living in us. Look, the fruits of the Spirit are nothing that we are producing. It's all produced by the Spirit of God within us. It's not our works. It's the Lord Jesus Christ by His Spirit doing the work in us and through us. But it starts and it takes place through this renewing of the spirit of our mind. Again, that battle is going to be won or lost in the mind or in your heart. Look with me in Proverbs 23 and verse number 7, please. Proverbs 23 and verse number 7. We're looking at these verses because it's key to Psalm chapter 1. Proverbs 23 and verse number 7. It says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." Psalm 1 is one of the key passages to the Reformers' Unanimous ministry. And it's one of the reasons that I kind of working from that passage tonight as we thinking over RU and looking forward to its starting. But being a Psalm 1 Christian is what RU is all about, is getting to this place of enjoying that blessed, that fruitful life that God intends for every child of His, every believer. Bible says, "As a man thinketh," or "as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." What is going on in your mind? What is going on in your heart, dear Christian? Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Out of it is the way that you are going to live. Psalm 1 contrasts those that resist or reject the blessed life with those that accept, pursue, and embrace the blessed life. Let's go back to Psalm number 1. First of all, and I'll try to be quick with these points tonight. Psalm 1, verse 1, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." The blessed man doesn't live according to the world's philosophy. The blessed man doesn't live according to the world's philosophy. Counsel, the word that we find here in verse 1, is advice. It's a plan. It's a purpose. It's a philosophy. The word philosophy means love of wisdom. And it's the world's wisdom or it's God's wisdom. And of course, we know that wisdom, true wisdom, can only come from God. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. This is where wisdom comes from. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The counsel of this world, the advice of this world, we can find it on television. Commercials, advertisements, things that are being promoted. Unfortunately, we have something called the internet. You say, "No, duh, it's been around for a long time." Yes, I know that. And unfortunately, it's become so much more convenient for us to use. And the world has such a stronger grip into our lives of influence that unfortunately are robbing away our minds from being renewed as they need to be, as we'll look at in verse number 2. Promotion of the world's agendas and the push to see everyone cooperate. Example, like making laws, passing laws to ban helping people to see it God's way. My friends, we are living in a country that is looking to make legislation, legislating everything that is against God, anti-Christ, anti-Bible, anti-Holy Spirit. They're going to pass legislation repeatedly that is just going to cause our jaws to drop open. And look, dear Christian, we cannot follow the trends of the world, the agendas of the world. It's the way that the world is going because they're not making these decisions on their own. There's a power that works behind them. You say, are you a conspiracy theorist? No, but I know that the devil works behind this world. And unfortunately, many people are being used as tools or as pawns, just presenting their life over to the devil and only to find destruction at the end of it all. Deletion of things on YouTube or Twitter that could go against their agenda happens all the time. And unfortunately, dear Christian, that counsel of the world is robbing away many of our homes and many of our families. The world's pursuit or motivation can be summed up in 1 John chapter 2 in verse number 15 through verse number 17. We see there the lusts of the flesh listed. These are the things that are of the world. The lusts of the flesh. That word lust, let's maybe make it a little bit easier to handle, desires. Lust, we automatically think something bad. But desires, you know, desires are okay. We all have desires. Longings. Lust of the flesh. Think of it this way. What you want to do. Lust of the eyes. Again, desires, longing. What you want to have. I mean, come on, these things are harmless. What you want to do, what you want to have. The pride of life. What you want to be. Position. Power. Fame. Is not this so often the driving force of our everyday life? I or we would like to do or to go. I or we would like to have. Or I or we would like to be A. And this is what I want. And we neglect the will of God for our life. And I call upon every child, every teenager, every young adult, every old, I better be careful with that, every adult living today, I call on you to pursue the will of God for your life, to enjoy the blessed life. It's not about I or what we want to do or to go or to have or to be. Look, this is what the world is pursuing. And as John, the Apostle John, wrote there in 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 17, he said, the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Where is the purpose of life? Where is this blessed life? What is it all about? May I say to you, it's about doing the will of God for your life. The blessed life. What can get us off course is the counsel of the ungodly. Our life so often focuses and zeroes in on these motivating factors. Yet Jesus says in Matthew 16 and verse 26, there is no profit if we gain the whole world and lose our own soul. Brother Steve Currington puts it this way. You can take 1 John chapter 2, verse number 15, and divide it up into thirds. Each part of the temptation or the world, all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of the life, are thirds. If you could do everything you wanted to do in life, you would gain one-third of the world. If you could have everything you wanted to have in life, you would gain two-thirds of the world. If you could be everything you wanted to be in this life, you would gain the whole world. Three-thirds makes a whole. But Jesus said, if you gain the whole world and lose your own soul, what does it profit a man? It's all in vain. Think of it, on your headstone someday, your grave marker, the word wasted could appear beside the years of your life. If this is what you are pursuing. Dear Christian, are you pursuing the blessed life? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Secondly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. The blessed man doesn't go to the places that sinners go. You say, what? How can that happen? Can't go to Walmart? There's sinners there. I realize we are living in a wicked world. And we have to do business within this world. Child of God takes the way of life that is clearly laid out in Scripture, the principles of which we are presented with from this pulpit week after week. Principles that I hope that you find in your email from our pastor daily, the devotionals that are sent out, the devotionals that you read, I hope, at home, and your time and the Word of God that I hope you are investing into your life. You take this into the world and you live for God in every moment of your day. We are not to embrace the world. This word stand is to abide, to continue, to be employed, or to tarry. You think about Lot's wife and that idea of tarrying, or even Lot's family, as the angel grabbed the hold of their hands to take them out of Sodom as it was going to be destroyed for its immorality. And look, the nation that we call Canada today, I don't think it's as bad as Sodom and Gomorrah, but I'm pretty sure it's getting pretty close. In the days of Noah, the wicked times that have existed over the history of this world and against the civilization of human beings. The angel grabbed the hold of Lot's hand, and outside of that city, as Lot's wife looked back to her own destruction, because that's where she wanted to stay. While we have to live in this world, we have no desire to stay in this world. Don't set your roots down too deep, dear Christian. You're a pilgrim. You're a pilgrim on a journey called life. We get our foundations down so deep, we're in over our heads. If God called us away from a job, we couldn't leave it because we couldn't afford to do without it. I'm not the greatest at finances, but I want to be free when the Lord says, Nathan, I want your family to go. I don't want to be tied down. You say, so you're just going to be a freelancer? No. But I think we ought to be available for the Lord. A lot of expensive cars drive around this city. You say, well, they can afford it. Quite possibly they can afford the payment. They might not be able to afford the whole principle. I'm not going to talk about giving tonight. Think about the reality. You say, if I can afford the payment, it's okay. What happens if you lost everything? Somebody knocks on your door and says, I'd like the keys to your car. Say, no, it's my car. No, it belongs to the bank. You're simply paying payments. Dear Christian, we cannot be too strapped where we can't enjoy the blessings of a life. Look, I believe it was Hudson Taylor's wife that lost everything 5 or 6 times. I may be wrong on that, missionary. Lost everything but the clothes on her back. 5 or 6 times. Would you be able to do that? I'm not going to get on missionaries. I've never traveled across the ocean, but many take containers and things of that nature, of things they want to have from home, and I have to be careful because I've never experienced that. We ought not be traveling with hundreds and thousands of dollars of things. When God calls you home to heaven, you say, wait, God, I've got to load up my truck. We've got to be ready. This world can't dig its claws into us to stand, to abide. Yes, there are places that a child of God should not be, whether it's in person or in the virtual realm or in that fantasy world, dear teenager, dear men. You get online and you begin to get involved in things and you think it's harmless, it's only on a screen. Don't think that way. Remember, the battle is won and lost within your mind. Many of you are playing video games that you should not even have existing in your home. Moms, dads, you're watching movies that are rated for what you would say are for adults. May I say to you something that you would not show in front of your kid? Consider not watching it in your private time, because most likely you shouldn't be watching it either. Get some standards of morality in your home, what you would present to your children from the Word of God. Allow it to be your guiding light within your life. We must be in the right way. Abraham's servant, when he went to look for a bride for Isaac, he said, this, I being in the way, the Lord led me. As I walked down the path, as I journeyed down the path of life, God led me to my to the kindred of my master, Abraham. And God, of course, led him to Rebekah that would become the wife of Isaac. The way here in Psalm 1 is a road, is a conversation, is a journey or a manner, a way of living. And it suggests this, that your closest friends should be godly people. Your closest friends should be godly people. You say, I can't have a best friend in the world. I didn't necessarily say that. But I think those that you say are my close friends, I think they should be walking with the Lord. Yes, we befriend the world. We need to reach the world in which we are living in. But unfortunately, those that influence us are those that are the closest and the dearest to us. And if they are not walking with the Lord, look, according to Psalm 1, you're not going to have that blessed life. Make friendships within the church. This year has been challenging. 2020, 2021 has been challenging. Some of you we haven't seen for almost a year. We've missed our church family. You know, we've had various things online, and I know online isn't fun. I haven't enjoyed every part of it. Make friends within the church. You ought to have a longing to be with God's family. That's where we are strengthened. Number three, the blessed man doesn't sit with those who mock the truth. The blessed man doesn't sit with those who mock the truth, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. The scornful man is a mocker. He's a scoffer. Now think about it. This idea of sitting down. When you sit down, it usually means you intend to stay a while, to settle. Maybe at your home, you got home from work and you're looking forward to maybe a little bit of relaxation. And you know, if you have children, that's hard to find at times. And or your guys, your wife, you want to help your wife, and so you're willing to do whatever she wants you to do. And you just sat down on the couch, and she said, "Would you, dear honey, you know, my love, would you come and help me with this?" And you'll think, "I just sat down. I just got comfortable. I was planning to take a break. I just sat down." You know, when we come to a service and everybody behind the camera right now is sitting down because Pastor Nathan's preaching, so we're going to be here a while, so let's get comfortable. Sitting down, it's a progression or a digression. Walking, standing, or remaining, sitting, getting comfortable. Within the world around us, a world that we are to be pilgrims on a journey, a temporary dwelling place within this world. I say to you, this is why it's so urgent, vital for the local church to be together in some way, not just for a quote-unquote worship service. Yes, we can do stuff online, and yes, we can preach the Bible online, but there is something about being around God's people, about being around God's family, those that don't mock the truth, those that aren't the scoffers, the scorner, and you could take time to read the book of Proverbs and learn about the scorner. I'll give you four verses. We won't read them, but Proverbs 1 and verse 22, the scorner delights in scorning. Proverbs 13 and verse number 1, the scorner doesn't hear or doesn't listen to rebuke. Proverbs 15 and verse 12, the scorner doesn't love the one who reproves him. Proverbs 22 and verse number 10, contention travels with the scorner. It says to remove the scorner, and contention will basically leave with him. We should have no desire to be with these people in the sense of sitting down and hanging out. You know, years ago when I worked construction, we had a Christmas party, and I'm so thankful that I worked for a Christian construction company. And when we had Christmas parties, there was no alcohol. And when I first started working with them and they invited us to the Christmas party, that was something that I wanted to find out about. I had no interest to be around a drinking party. Dear Christian, you shouldn't either. And I think many of you that attend Christmas parties, you do it to the best that you can, in the sense when the alcohol comes out, I know many of you will leave at that point. And look, there's some influences that we don't want around ourselves. We don't want around our family, the influences of the world. And we have to use discretion with all of that, I know. But let's be thinking, as the Bible says, this is the blessed life. This is how we enjoy the blessings. Fourthly and lastly, the blessed man delights in the way and the things of the Lord. The blessed man delights in the way and the things of the Lord. Verse number 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. The way of the Lord and the things of the Lord are not a dread, a delight. Why do we have to start a children's club? What is the point? I mean, come on, Pastor, don't you know what's going on in the world around us? Well, why do we have to do this? Why can't we just stay in the comfort of our own homes until everything is safe to go out? Dear Christian, I don't mean to discourage you, but that may never be the case. God never intended us to sit around and wait. God intends for the sanctification of our life, and that takes place every single day by the renewing of our mind. The transformation of our life takes place by the renewing of our mind. And look, if God's people are not investing the Word of God into the lives of His people, into the lives of our families, into the lives of others, the world will invest. What happens when you push the Word aside and you have nothing to do, you bring something else in? Either this is going to get in your mind, or quite possibly the world's influence will get into your mind. Why do we have to start something like RU? Why would we have a ministry like that? I think all you have to do is begin to walk up and down the streets and see people that are hurting. Many people that go through life just thinking that this is the way that I have to live my entire life, that there is no hope. If you're a Christian, where God can use you, I trust that you get involved. It ought to be a delight to live for the Lord. It ought to be a delight to turn on the live stream, watch church, listen to Pastor preach again, and watch him on television. Every Sunday when I get home, or a lot of Sundays when I get home, my kids say, "Hey, Dad, I saw you on TV. I feel like a famous person. I was on TV." Yeah, me and, you know, thousands of other preachers that have been on TV these days. But it ought to be a delight. Whatever way that we can to get into the Word of God, whether it's our personal time, whether it's our family time, whether it's our church time, it's what fills his mind. The Word of God fills his mind. We look for every possible way for our faith to be challenged and to be strengthened. The blessed man doesn't avoid the opportunities afforded within the local church. Whatever we have, we can be involved in it and grow it. I'll take advantage of it. There ought to be a hunger. There ought to be a thirst to draw closer to the Lord. He seeks to be in God's Word and allows it to truly be the guiding light for the entire day. You say, "I do my devotions in the morning. What more do you want?" Make those devotions your day. You say, "What, sit around and read the Bible all day?" No. Make it be the thoughts of your day. Make it be what your mind goes to. When a frustrating situation happens, don't go to being angry. Go to the verses that the Lord gave you in the morning to prepare for what God knew was coming in that day. Allow it to be your daily guiding light for that entire day. Delight in the way of the Lord. Don't miss the opportunity to enjoy this blessed life. In conclusion, I want to read to you a portion of Pilgrim's Progress written by John Bunyan. Obviously an old book, but a classic book. From this is taken the 9 steps to backsliding. The 9 steps to backsliding. And this, the context of this quote mentions how a man named Mr. Temporary backslid. If you remember, Pilgrim's Progress is what's called an allegory. This Mr. Temporary's backsliding prompted Christian to ask Hopeful what he sees as the reason for backsliding. Hopeful shares a few reasons, and shortly after, Christian shares his thoughts on backsliding. Notice the progression of then this, then that. Christian said, "Well, I think it is like this. First, they withdraw their thoughts as much as possible from the remembrance of God, death, and judgment to come." And just notice the thoughts, the mind. It's the first step. He withdraws his thoughts as much as possible from the remembrance of God, death, and judgment to come. Secondly, then by degrees they give up their self-discipline, such as private prayer, curbing their lust, watching their conduct, regretting sin, and the like. Thirdly, then they shun the company of lively, warm-hearted Christians, people that love the Lord, people that have a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. Number 4, After that, they grow negligent of public duties such as hearing and reading the Word of God, attending meetings, and the like. Number five, then they begin to find fault with Christians, picking holes in the coats of the godly because some weakness which they fancy they have seen in them, and casting aspersions on the good name of the disciples behind their back, also known as gossip. Then they begin to associate with worldly, loose, and evil-minded people. They also give away to carnal, lustful, and immoral practice in secret. Seek to find such practice in those who are counted true, that they may say they are their example. After this, they play with sin openly. Number seven. Number eight, then being hardened, they show themselves as they are, downright wicked. Number nine, now being bogged down again in the gulf of misery, they perish forever in their own deceiving, unless a miracle of grace prevents it. You find yourself in that journey. Say, I could never get to that point. I'm a Christian. Really? You know how many Christians have? You know how many Christians have reached step number one? Withdrawing our thoughts as much as possible from the remembrance of God. Look, that's for Sunday. That's for Wednesday. That's for when I open my Bible. When I watch movies, don't need it there. Oh, you definitely need it there. Because it's God's holiness and the principles of His Word that guide us to the movies that we should be watching and shouldn't be watching. Would you find yourself on any one of those steps? You're a Christian, there's a way back. It's called repentance. Confession and then repentance. Receiving forgiveness and turning back to the Lord. Or are you on the path of the blessed life? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law doth he meditate day and night. What is the blessed life? Walking in the will of God, doing his will. Verse 3, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. God's offering the blessed life. You're watching tonight, you say, I'm not even a Christian. You can't experience the blessed life. Not yet. You know, right now in this time as we close this service out, you can begin that journey of the blessed life. As I said in the message a while ago, salvation, being saved, is only the doorway to that blessed life. Only the doorway. God has so much in store for you. Your person, as you're listening, if you are lost and you say, I don't know Christ as my Savior, God has so much waiting for you. But you must come, as Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Won't you come to Him tonight? Won't you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior tonight? We would love to help you however we can. You can get in contact with myself, with Pastor. We have contact numbers and emails on our website. You look under, I think it's the staff section. And get in touch with us. Christian, maybe you're listening and you say, I want to enjoy that blessed life. God's extended the offer to you. But there's some things that we have to give up. There's some things that we have to grab a hold of. Are you willing to bring into your life what God desires? Set some of those things aside that maybe are beginning to cloud out the things of the Lord. Set your heart upon the Lord.